done with the world, man. Cause daddy was a badass. Cause daddy was a badass. Cause daddy was a badass.
Wow, that's Jesse Dayton with us here from his brand new CD titled The Reveler and Revealer, excuse me. Daddy was a badass. Jesse Dayton is scheduled to be in Worcestertown, USA tomorrow night at the Cove. And if we're lucky enough, we're going to have him on the phone with us. Hey, how you doing, Jesse?
I'm good, brother. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. This album, I have to tell you, is just a kicker. I mean, it kicks throughout all 12 tracks that you've put on here. And
thanks, man.
Wow. It's
I'm real proud of it. It's you know, it's been a work in progress for a while. I hadn't had a record out in a few years because I was kind of off doing this movie thing. And, you know, movies are never as cool as music, but you make a pretty good cheddar doing it. So as soon as the last film was done, I ran screaming back into the arms of the music business.
Excellent. Well, we want to hear about that, of course, but I first turned on to you with Country Soul Brother back in 2004, and as will happen, unfortunately, and I'll confess, I let this one slide into the lower piles, and I hadn't visited with it in some time, and then this one came along, and I don't know, each song is a story within itself, of course, as songs will be, but... many of these, you almost feel like kindred spirit with you in one way or another.
Right.
And some of the situations that you put out there, you put into lyric. Tell us.
Right.
Did you ever go to church when you were young?
I did. You know, it was a crazy upbringing. You know, I had part of the family were Catholic Cajuns. The other part were hillbilly Pentecostals.
Wow, what a mix.
So, pack your bags. We're going on a guilt trip. it was crazy. But, you know, I grew up in a small town, man, in East Texas. I mean, I had to get out of there and get to Austin, you know, where I could be around like-minded people. But there were, you know, we had all kinds of crazy tent revivalist preachers and, they were all corrupt and they're always in the news and somebody was getting busted at some prostitution thing or
this or that.
Something like that. You know, there was all these characters and my record has a lot of these very, kind of desperate characters in it. And I almost have survivor's guilt talking about it because I'm like so glad I made it out of there.
Well, we like, as mentioned, we have kindred spirits in that way as well. But it wasn't quite that crazy. Wow, what a mix, the Catholics and the Cajuns, huh? Jesse, Jesse Dayton with us here. You can hear some of his stories up close and personal. He's going to be in town tomorrow night at the Cove. And, you know, Jesse, you mentioned the movies, and tell us about that. What was that all about?
Well, you know, I mean, I'll kind of talk about it, what leads up to that. But when I was a kid, I was on this TV show called Crook and Chase. It was like a thing that CMT had. And I got booked on this show from this publicist who saw me play at the Continental Club in Austin. And the night that I was on the show, Christofferson was on the show. And me and Chris really hit it off because we're on with all these kind of cheesy mainstream Nashville acts and obviously don't fit in. And so that night I hung out with Chris, and the next morning I was leaving my hotel room and Waylon Jennings called me in my hotel room and said, "Hey man, I saw you last night on TV with Chris and I cut my finger cooking with Jesse Coulter. And do you want to come down and play guitar for me?" And I was like, yeah, sure, man. So he didn't, you know, so it was just like the acoustic stuff.
Right.
So I just blow off the plane and the airport, and I, you know, truck on over to Woodland Studios in Nashville. This is like 96. And I knock on the door, and Johnny Cash opens the door. And he says, are you going to just sit there with your mouth open, or are you going to come in and play guitar? So I walk in, and there's actual footage of this first day. I met Chris and Waylon and John all in like less than 24 hours. And I played on this track with Waylon. He was super cool to me. And then he said, well, you know, I'll play some other guitar. And then he saw that I could really play lead guitar. And then like about 2 weeks later, he called and said, hey, man, do you want to play guitar on my new record? So I was like, yeah, of course. So I dropped everything. And that's when I started getting kind of passed around. And I played on a lot of the old school country outlaw guys, Ray Price, even did some work with Glenn Campbell, played on a Johnny Cash record, played on a Willie Nelson record, Johnny Bush, a lot of these guys like that. And I did that for a while, and then I put out my solo record because I got signed to a deal. Mm-hmm. And I'd done that for a while, and then out of nowhere, another weird thing happened to me where I got this phone call from Rob Zombie, the heavy metal guy. And I don't know anything about Rob Zombie. I wasn't into his music or anything. And he said, look, man, we're making the ultimate white trash horror movie called The Devil's Rejects, and we think your music would be perfect. Which was kind of a left-handed compliment, man, you know? It's like somebody peeing on your leg and shaking your hand at the same time, you know?
Sure.
And so I was like, okay. And so he flew me out, and I started writing all his songs for this movie. And the soundtrack came out and was a total fluke. It did really well. And that kind of got me in. And I started I did a couple of more films with Rob, and then he put me in one, which was the movie Halloween, which, you know, is a... it's a huge franchise.
It sure is.
And that movie was huge. That movie was like number one at the box office. And then I started getting kind of on camera stuff. And then I got into writing, and I wrote a script, and I licensed it. And, you know, it was just all stuff that you're not supposed to do if you're from Beaumont, Texas, you know? So, you know, all the stuff on this new record, The Revealer, are just the best songs that I could muster up. You know, I wrote like 30 songs, and I picked those 12, and I'd been carrying them around in my pocket for a while. And, you know, a couple, I wrote Daddy Was a Badass like 3 days before we recorded it. But some of the other ones, like Never Start Living, I had written 3 years before.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the Cliff Note version, man. I hope I didn't go on too long.
No, that was perfect. Jeez, I wanted to hear all of that. And, you know, it's just stepping into horror movies with the background that I'm well aware is part of your reality.
Yeah, man. I mean, one of those Pentecostal people.
Oh, must have been a trip.
And they scared me to death when I was a little kid, you know? I mean, you're in those churches.
Let's not have a
therapist. Running around, speaking in tongues, waving their hands up in the air. And, you know, I think the last time I went to one, I was about 17, and I went because it was a super hot chick that wanted me to go to church with her. And the guy comes over and just shoves my head while he's putting his hands on me. And I was like, okay, I'm done with this. Like, you guys you believe in talking snakes. You're out of your mind.
Well, there's
I jumped over to the science group, brother.
There you go. Science is real.
I like facts, man.
So there's one song on
here. Earth's 225 billion years old, my friend. Okay, I'm not going to believe some redneck preacher from Vodder, Texas, has a clue on when the guy's coming back.
There you go. So I got to ask you, and I don't know that I'll play it, but I have to ask you about the co-write you did with Hayes Carroll, Three Pecker yeah. Goat. What's that about?
I mean,
I'm assuming it's
so
clean enough.
So me and Hayes have known each other for a long time. And, like, we both started out playing this place in Galveston Island called the Old Quarter. And the guy who owns it was actually Towns bass player and Lightning Hopkins bass player. He's on some of the records. And so me and Hayes were always threatening to write a tune together. And it was so funny when I came home. I told my girl, she said, "Did you finally get with Hayes and write one?" And I said, "Yeah, I did." She goes, "What's the name?" But I said, "Three Pecker Goat." And she goes, "You mean you got together with Hayes and wrote a song about a three-pecker goat? You could have wrote, you know, he's a Grammy-nominated songwriter, and you guys, that's all you could come up with." But the song is about this place on Galveston Island called the Poop Deck. And it's an old bar, and it's up on stilts, and it overlooks the Gulf of Mexico. And we were in there one night and met this Cajun girl who was just awesome. And they were closing the bar at 2, and she came up to me and said, "Hey, the redfish are running off Bolivar. Do you want to go fishing right now?" And so I told Hayes, I said, "Man, she's hotter than a three-pecker goat." And he started busting out laughing. He's like, "We got to write that song." So we wrote that song about that girl and how we didn't, this was a long time ago, how we didn't get lucky with her. She just wanted to hang out and fish and drink beer with us.
Sure,
so.
Sure. Jesse Dayton with us here on the Jukebox of Americana, again performing tomorrow evening at the Cove. That's over at the 89 Green Street right here in Worcester. And are you traveling alone? You got a band with you? What's up?
I got a red hot band with me. You know, I am a guitar player by trade, and I kind of ran off all the other musicians so I could play a lot of guitar. And I got this great drummer and a great upright bass player who plays electric too, and they both sing like birds. And they put on a killer show, and so it's a guitar fest. It's a trio. I'm playing, you know, a bunch of different kinds of guitars to change the sound of the band. And, you know, it might be a Mexican guitar or a Telecaster or, you know, one of my one-of-a-kind, you know, handmades or whatever. So it's, it's going to be a full band. It's a rocking show, man. It's super high energy. It's not your typical, you know, bring your pillow to the Sleepy Songwriter coffee shop. It's pretty high energy, but we do some stuff where I bust out the acoustic in the middle. And, you know, I grew up listening to Towns and Guy Clark and, you know, all those kind of songwriters like that. So I kind of try to approach the music, even when it's high energy, with that kind of Texas storyteller thing.
Sure. So you're playing tomorrow night then at the Cove Music Hall, and we want to push the Providence date as well, because we have folks listening down that way. On Sunday, you'll be at the Firehouse 13. That's a new venue to me. I've never been there, so...
Yeah, I haven't either. And, you know, I'm looking forward to tomorrow night. I mean, I love Boston, man. I have good friends there. And, you know, a bunch of Irish guys. And they usually take me to some local neighborhood bar. And we have a Guinness when we get done. And it's, you know, it's just cool. It's great.
Cool. I do want to ask you about the cover of the album that you've got out, the reveal, and it's a painting by Charlie Terrell.
Yeah.
Hopefully I'm saying his name correctly, but
Yeah, it is.
It's
feral, yeah.
Powerful. You know, the imagery that I'm going to assume you had a hand in this, or does he just know you well enough?
I didn't at all. He, you know, Charlie Terrell is this really kind of Southern savant, crazy guy who just doesn't really go out much, and he's kind of a hermit, and he, you know, he does this kind of folk art stuff, and that was actually the first one of those paintings that he did. He actually ended up doing one for, I think, Tom Petty and some other rock stars, but he did mine, and it's a really big painting, and he just called me out of the blue and said, come on over and check this painting out I did of you. And, you know, it's got all that kind of, you know, religious imagery and kind of Southern Gothic thing. I mean, I like all those writers from the South, you know. And anyway, I went over to his house and I was like, hey, do you mind if we use this for a record cover? And he was like, oh, man, I don't care. So it ended up being the record cover.
Well, it's I have to tell you, coming to see you is an amazing thing, but check out the CD as well, folks, if you make it over to the Cove tomorrow night. Another thing, you're into Kinky Friedman, no?
I am.
Are you going to do some Kinky Friedman tomorrow night, too?
I played Kinky Friedman in a play, and that's so weird. It's how, I mean, I had known Kinky, but we would just kind of cross paths, and this guy named Ted Williams. He's a big playwright in New York, but he's from like Kentucky, and he wrote that play, Always Patsy, that musical, which is super successful. It's about Patsy Cline.
Sure.
And then he wrote this other one called Becoming Kinky, and a friend of mine in New York knew Ted and said, "You got to let Jesse Dayton read for this." So I go into this room and there's like 30 guys in there with fake cigars and black cowboy hats. And I went in there and read for it. And they said, hey, do you want to play this part? And I was like, well, I got to do a film in like 8 weeks. And I ended up doing it. It was super hard. Theater work is, oh my God, man. You can't hang out, party, or you know, get too much in anything, or you'll forget your lines. So,
right.
I played Kinky in this play, and me and Kinky got to be really good friends. And I ended up doing a record of all his songs that weren't popular. You know, the ones that weren't necessarily funny. Because I don't think people realize that. You know, Kinky used to live with Tom Waits.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, he used to live with Tom Waits, and he was the opening act on the whole Rolling Thunder tour for Bob Dylan.
Okay.
And, you know, he's a heavy writer, and people hear, I don't want to say this on the radio, but A-Hole from El Paso.
Uh-huh.
And some of his witty songs like that, and they kind of like, oh yeah, he's the guy that writes the funny songs, but he's actually got some songs that are amazing. So I wanted to cut those songs.
I've not heard your renditions of them, but I look forward to checking those out.
Yeah,
I definitely wanted to touch base with you in regards to Kinky. Well, Jesse Dayton, I'm just so excited you can spend some time with us here on the Jukebox of Americana. I'm looking forward to seeing your shows. And, folks, I'm telling you, you've traveled all the way up here just to play for us. So we got to get out of the freaking house and just venture down, you know, the few blocks or a couple of miles that it takes to get to the Cove over here in Worcester. And thank you.
Yeah, come see us, man. I'm partial, obviously, but I don't really know a band that's really lighting up the place. And if you're in the guitar playing, it kind of has a different element than most Americana shows, because
sure,
we do some crazy chicken picking and all kinds of stuff. So we're excited, man. Everybody needs to come on down, y'all.
So, you know, Jesse, I have the album here. I've got the. I know that you're wanting to push the new album, but I actually do have the Country Soul Brother here with me as well. And the composition on here I want to play is Jesus Pick Me Up.
Can you go
along with me on that?
I can do it, brother. In fact, I'll give you an amen. Okay.
All right.
It's not really coming. It's not really coming from my heart, but I'll play along. How about that?
Well, again, we're looking forward to seeing you tomorrow night. And if you would hang on the phone as I go into this track.
You
want to tell us anything about this before Jesus picked me up?
Oh man, you know, it's just I don't know. I think it's kind of a. You know, I obviously I have a kind of pronounced accent, and you know, I think it kind of freaks people out sometimes. They don't realize that I've read Wuthering Heights 3 times, but they immediately think, you know, wow, where's this guy from? But I think all Southern writers have some kind of conflict with religion, and because really we all want there to be magic. We all want there to be something spiritual, and I do believe in things that are bigger than me and that I don't understand because that's just who I am. But this song has that kind of the revealer kind of gospel thing to it. And I think that's why, you know, Elvis sold so many gospel records because you could kind of feel that he believed it.
Sure. Yeah, he knows the spirit. There's, you know, we say what we do and we feel what the, you know, we feel like we've almost been abused in many ways, but there's that core group, of people in there that truly believe what they're believing. There is a spirit there. Misdirected spirit, yeah, but nonetheless.
Yeah, you know. It is what it is. And you know, hey, I like everybody, man. I'm just glad I'm here and I'm getting to do what I get to do. And you know, I think the whole reason I got out of that was because all the judgment that was passed. And you can just take the good stuff and leave the rest of it alone, you know?
There you go. Jesus Pick Me Up from Jesse Dayton. He's in town tomorrow night at the Cove.
Pick me up on your way down. Devil shines like diamonds in the wicked lots of town. Mama's up in heaven, sees what's going round. Jesus, pick me up on your way down.